Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey. I'm your show's host, Anna Renault, and I would hope that the listeners would look at my website to find out more information about me, about the radio show, about the books I've written, and all the other things that I do. I really do thank you for listening to Anna's Journey. We have started a new year, number 7, for me here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm really excited to have a couple of interesting guests joining me in the studio to really cover some topics, especially for small businesses, that I think are really important. Today we're going to be talking about financial wealth, and that includes your financial health. What are you doing to ensure that you are financially set up to do the best you can do for the money that you have? And we're going to have a guest, Laura Johnson, joining us to talk about that, especially financial health and wealth for women. Are we doing what we need to do to ensure that we have things covered that need to be covered, that we're going to be able to handle our money in the best possible way? Now, before I jump into the show, I remind people that the shows are recorded, and you can always go back and listen to the replay, and you can share the link with other people who you think might really want to know or hear the information that we're going to share today. My airtime sponsor is Ginny Robertson, LLC. Ginny Robertson is actually the owner and operator of a fantastic organization that I got connected with shortly after I retired from my full-time, lifetime career and became an entrepreneur, On Purpose Woman Community. Now, way back when, it was On Purpose Networking, and a lot of people went around talking about OPN. It's now On Purpose Woman Community. It certainly describes exactly what Ginny is dedicated to doing in giving women a safe place where they can experiment with their self and ideas, especially when it comes to small business and entrepreneurship. She also helps create community, achieve self-defined success, and she invites women and encourages them to show up real and stand in their power. Ginny also publishes On Purpose Woman magazine 4 times a year, and she also hosts an annual convention at the end of October each year, which is fantastic. And I believe it's going to be the last weekend in October this year, and she has a really nice venue right near the BWI airport. So while people are flying in from different places, it really is convenient to attend her conference. I also have a shout out to Jane Rainier, who is a canine wellness specialist. She is the owner of Lucky Dog Wellness, and you can look up her website, LuckyDogWellness.com, or you can give Jane a call about your four-legged pet, 410-961-3542. Jane teaches pet first aid, and it's just awesome to even look at her website homepage about the common myths about pets, signs that your dog is aging, maybe your dog is having trouble adjusting to a new home, and many other things. So thanks a lot for the support of Ginny Robertson, LLC, and Jane Rainier for Lucky Dog Wellness. All right, let's jump into the show, because I think talking about our financial health is very important. We certainly need to think about how, when, where, all those things that we do. What are our goals? What are we trying to achieve with the money we have? Hello, Laura Johnson. You're live on the air with Anna's Journey. How are you today?
Good morning, Anna. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I'm just really glad that we crossed paths at Ginny's house at one of the On Purpose Woman Community events, and I heard you speak, and you just kept hitting all the buttons that I keep trying to convince people that they need to do. And I said, we've got to do some shows. So then we got together and had breakfast, and I said, we really need to do some shows. We really need to share what you do with everybody, not just women, but certainly especially for women, because so often this is stuff that somehow people think we know, and I don't know if they think we learn it by osmosis, but we don't learn it in school. We don't necessarily sit down at home with our parents. You know, where do we learn how to do any of this stuff? And we really need to think about it. I mean, it's something as simple as doing a budget. I can remember getting married at 18 and sitting down with my husband at the kitchen table and saying, you know, how much money do we have to spend, like on groceries and things? And he said, well, I make, you know, X number of dollars. I said, yeah, but how much money do you bring home? You know, how much do they take out in taxes? How much money, when you go to the bank on Friday and put money into the checking account, how much money do I have to spend? And he looked at me like I had two heads. He had never done that. He had never worried about that, you know. And it's like, I can't live without knowing how much money I have to spend. I mean, I certainly had already always relied on my parents up to that point, but now here I am, a married lady, and I have to pay bills, and I have to buy groceries, and, you know, maybe I want to go to the store and buy some clothes. How much money do I have to spend? You know, it's a, a budget really can be simple, but it can also be a big deal because it's a lot of money that I see wasted when people are going to places early in the morning and buying their $5 and $6 and $7 lattes. Well, when you need it five times a week, you know, you've just spent $35. That could be, you know, something that really pays for something more important than all those lattes. And you don't need all those calories on top of that.
Well, you bring up some interesting little points there.
So let's talk, first of all, about you. Let's let the people know exactly who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. I actually am the owner of Hummingbird Wealth Management. We are based in Frederick, Maryland. However, I have clients literally all over the nation. I have clients from San Francisco, to Maryland and Maine to Florida. And where we specialize is I sit down with my clients, really get to know who you are, where you've been, where you are right now, and where you hope to be. And that's, that can be financially, that can be emotionally, though my degree is not in the emotional sense, but money can be such an emotional topic that I need to understand as much as I can about you. And then what we do is we align all of those things towards where you want to go. So your experiences are very important in trying to help you figure out what the next steps have been. I don't want to give you guidance to do something that you've already done and failed at a couple of times, and it may be that the way we did it was incorrect. But it's basically making a plan and making sure your investments, your estate planning documents, your tax situation, whatever it might be, is all aligned with whatever your plan is. Whether that plan is to retire or go on vacations or send your kids to college, we're just making sure everything's aligned with that plan.
Well, I know certainly, and certainly in 2001 when I decided that I was going to retire after 31 years with the company I worked with, which was the state of Maryland, people looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, I was 51 years old. What do you mean you're going to retire? You know, and it's like, well, I did some things right, and I'm ready to move on and do something else with my life, you know, while I'm still young enough, still healthy enough, and I have the financial whatever in place to do this. And I did it.
That's great. Not many people can.
No, to sit here and say I've been retired for 16 years and I have been able to become a published author and I've been able to become a speaker and I've been able to do some other things that I've always wanted to do, because I had made a plan with a retirement program. So I get a check every month from that, and then I had my savings. I never really learned to do investments, and there were a couple of times along the way where the investing community had some crashes that I was somewhat glad I didn't have money in the system that I would have lost. And I was still financially okay. And so here I am now enjoying being a radio show host. Who would have ever thought I was going to do that? I mean, you know, when you find ways to make ends meet and find ways to feed your soul in the process, you're doing something right. And to have folks like you now coming along to help people look at these things, because I would have loved to have had you back in my life in the 70s and 80s when people were saying, you know, you need to have a 401k and you've got to have, I think it was a 359B and a couple of other numbers they were throwing at you in terms of retirement plans. And I'm saying, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, we never talked about this at home, and we certainly never talked about this in school. And what's the first thing that you do? So, like I said in my intro, the first thing I did after getting married was sitting down with my husband and making a budget so I knew how much I could spend at the grocery store and how much I could spend on new clothes. And, you know, now I'm this married woman. What am I going to do, you know? And at that point, there was no plan for me to go to work. His idea was that you stay home and eventually raise the kids and, you know, that you're just going to be a housewife.
Right.
That didn't last long, unfortunately. But, you know, these are things that people need to think about. So talk about how important a budget is.
Sure. Well, you know, you made mention of two things in there in your intro. One was sitting down and talking to your husband about, well, how much money do we have to spend? And it's very unfortunate that in today's world, and quite honestly, when I married my husband 26 years ago, we didn't really sit down and have that conversation. But I, because I had the financial background, was able to, okay, we need to figure this out, and did figure it out. But nobody directed it to your point. Nobody directed us or taught us that this is something important. And I think that that's something, it is obviously something important that we as parents and mentors in other people's lives, that we share this wisdom and knowledge with others, that you need to sit down. It's important not only for your finances, it's important to your relationship, because finances are such a stressful thing to talk about. If we don't talk about it, it's not going away. So for me, having a budget is very important. Now, I'm not stringent. I think that if you sit down once a year and review, okay, where's our money coming from and where's our money going? It gives you good insight to making sure that you spend the money that you're receiving wisely. That doesn't mean you can't have fun and go on vacations and buy those lattes every once in a while, but making sure you know that there's certain money that needs to be set aside for your utilities and your groceries and your gas to get in your car and your mortgage or your rent or whatever that might be, that so that you're not spending it on new tires on the car and, you know, a new paint job or painting the house or whatever, and then realizing, wait, I don't have enough to pay for the mortgage. And I know that sounds a little exaggerated, but knowing where
but
your money is coming from. Yeah, and a
it's
lot of
not
times people
exaggerated, and that's the sad part, Laura, because you hear and you sit down and you talk to people, and I know when I heard you speak at Ginny's, you have all these little stories to tell, and it gives you cold chills because they're so accurate, especially what young people are doing. Now, I have to admit that, you know, and I brag a little bit, that I helped my granddaughter while she was growing up, and she helped me clean house, do laundry, whatever, there was a little financial plan. You know, if you do this, I pay you that. And she would put her money aside. Not too many 18-year-olds can go to the credit union with their grandmother and have the savings account turned over to her with $10,000 or more in it. You know, not too many teenagers are that aware of putting money aside because she wanted to buy a car. And, you know, we live in a neighborhood that's not close to a bus. You know, if you don't have a car down here, you're pretty much stuck. And she had a plan. And, you know, even the people at the credit union were, you know, shocked. She had done dog walking. She had done babysitting. She had done all kinds of things. And she had put money aside. Now, it's true, especially on a birthday, if she got a certain amount of money, some of it she would spend. But some of it always went into the bank. And it taught her that when she got a job, the first thing she always does is put a little bit of money into the bank. It's a nice habit. It's not easy. It's not always the first thing you think of. But just recently, she's now 29, her and her husband just paid out cash thousands of dollars to remodel their kitchen. They did not charge it. They did not go into debt. They planned, or more likely she planned it at some point, but he is really on board with her now about this whole planning process. They just took a backpacking trip to New Hampshire. They both took off time from work. She gets paid. He doesn't when they take off. It's something that you have to plan into the budget. You know, wait a minute. He's not going to get a paycheck this week. Budgets are so important. And then, of course, sadly, now, fortunately, my granddaughter doesn't have this problem, but the next step is what happens if somebody can't work, they become disabled. It may take you 2 years to get approved for disability through Social Security. What do you do in the meantime when you don't have that income coming in? There are these kinds of things, the what ifs, what if this happens, what if that happens. Talk about that a little
bit. So we could spend probably hours talking about all the what ifs. I want to commend you and your granddaughter. I actually had a similar story when my first started making money and getting paychecks. My mom informed me that I had to put half of it into my savings account. And I laugh now because I look back and think, I didn't really get a choice, didn't think I had a choice. And it instilled in me to put half of my paycheck away up until, you know, I had mortgages and things like that. But I was able, like your granddaughter, to save enough money to help pay for my college education throughout the 4.5 or 5 years that I went to University of Maryland. So, again, it was my mother taking the time to speak with me and say to me, this is something you need to do. And I look back and I think, thank goodness she did that, because it instilled in me that thought of paying myself first and making sure I'm taking care of my needs before I'm taking care of other things like bills and credit cards. But to your point about the what if we are disabled and what if we pass away and leave debt and things like that? Insurance is one of those things a lot of people are fearful of or just don't like, because you're paying into a system that you most likely may never see. You're hopeful that you don't die. You're hopeful that you don't become so disabled you're unable to work. The unfortunate thing is it happens, and it happens to many of us without any kind of warning. You know, a car accident could incapacitate you. Deciding that you're going to climb up on a ladder and clean out the gutters and get all the leaves out, and you fall off the ladder. Now you've broken your hip and your leg, and you're in a wheelchair for, you know, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it might be. That's where things like disability insurance come in and help you out. And it can be a fairly cheap or inexpensive based on a person's background or what it is that they do for a living. I mean, obviously somebody who's a construction worker is going to probably pay a little bit more than someone who's working in an office. But that doesn't mean that the person working in the office is any less likely to be disabled than that construction worker. So that's definitely something that I review with all of my clients. And then based on your health and your activity level, we price out a disability policy that's going to be in the best interest of you. Not every policy is the same for every person. It's like the same shoe does not fit every person. You know, you wear a size 8, I wear a size 9. I don't want to be putting a size 8 shoe on my foot, nor do you want to put a size 9 on yours. So that's something that's definitely an important part of your financial picture, along with life insurance. And a lot of people feel the same way about life insurance. Well, you know, I'm going to be dead. I can't really be worried about it. And I've shared stories how in the instance of a home where there's some debt that's encumbered to the home, well, they can just sell it. And when they sell it, they can take the profit from the home. Having the life insurance in a situation where you have a mortgage on your home, having life insurance to cover that mortgage at a bare minimum does the most important thing I think there is to do when somebody passes away. And it buys us time because we can take that life insurance, pay off the mortgage, and then everybody can sit back and breathe for a little bit, trying to, A, decide what they're going to do with the home, but B, most importantly, mourn the death of whoever it is that we just lost. And I think that is that time is so valuable in that case. So
and
hopefully
and
I answered
again,
that question for you.
You did, because this is some of the things that I've actually been talking with my granddaughter again. She actually now co-owns my house, our house. At the ripe old age of 17, or I guess it was 18, she was working full-time. I was now single, and the person who was my co-owner actually was her dad, and her dad decided to leave. And it was like, can I afford the house by myself? I was only paying half of everything, which was part of why I could afford to retire so early. I didn't have to pay the full mortgage or the full electric bill. So I'm now only paying half, and then he takes a walk. Mm-hmm. I needed another co-owner, and fortunately she was interested and working and could financially be that person. So we've split everything 50-50. Well, now the situation is I have metastatic breast cancer. At some point, I am definitely going to die with or without the cancer. I mean, it's just a given that people do die. And I said to her and her husband, you're going to inherit the house. Can you afford to do that? If I die this year, can you afford to keep the house? Do you have money in the bank? What are you going to do next month? Or the month after, or the month after, if I'm not here to pay for half of everything, do you have a plan? You know, it sounds really great that you're going to inherit the property. Can you afford to do that? And it's something that they really needed to think about, especially since they had just spent a few thousand dollars to remodel the kitchen. You know, their bank account went from really sweet to still in good shape, but you know, still, you have to think about these things. You really have to plan. And the same thing with talking about, you mentioned earlier about having certain paperwork involved, you know, advance directives, power of attorney, all those kinds of things that we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks, because you have agreed to do several shows, because this isn't an easy topic. This is something that people really need to think about, all these different little pieces to our financial health. It really does make a difference. Yeah, maybe you do decide to paint the living room or the bedroom and you go to Home Depot and you spend all this money and then you don't have enough money to pay your rent. It's a big deal. It really is something that a lot of young people don't always take into consideration, and it's something that we really do need to think about. Now, we've also talked about, in terms of today's show, for financial strategies for women, certainly the budget, certainly if you become disabled, certainly do you or don't you buy life insurance? Because a lot of times when people get into a financial bind, the first thing they do is stop paying the insurance premium. I can afford to just not do that. Well, then God forbid something happens and there's a problem. Now, we had also talked just a little bit about planning for retirement. Your mother said to you, always put your money into the bank, pay yourself first. I pretty much said the same thing to my granddaughter, always pay yourself first. Now, her goal at that point was to buy her first car. But for most people in their 30s, they're not thinking about planning ahead for your retirement. But now, Social Security may or may not be financially still there for my granddaughter and her husband and a whole lot of other young people. You know, we keep hearing stories out of Washington that by the middle of the 2030s, which is only 10, 15 years away, Social Security may not be there. And even if you do retire on Social Security, people don't realize you don't get a lot of money from Social Security. How many people can afford to live, pay all your bills, and still have money left over at the end of the month, and you're living on $1,000 a month? That's really not a lot. If you're paying $800 in rent, you're going to spend, you know, $200 on electric, gas, car, food. You know, it's physically impossible to live solely on your Social Security these days. And it's something that retirement planning is necessary. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and you said it there, is that that's why I encourage people to work, clients to work with me in regards to developing a plan. I have had clients in the past who do not have a plan, and they show up at my door, and they weren't my clients, and they come into my door and say, okay, well, I just got laid off. They called it early retirement, and I have no idea if this money that I have sitting in my 401k plan is enough for me to retire. But on the flip side, I've had people come to me going, I am never going to be able to, and this is sad for me, but I am never going to have enough money to retire. I'm going to work till the day I die. And I hate to see that as well, because it's, you know, this is your life. This is the one life God has given you, and you want to make sure that you spend it with, you know, the quality that you that all of us hope to have. And failing to plan is keeping people away from doing the things that they want, whether it's retire or go on vacation or, you know, buy that vacation home or buy that boat or whatever it might be. So having a plan, I think, is essential to no matter what situation you're in, whether you're in financial distress or you are feeling like you're never going to be able to retire, or even if you're feeling like, yeah, I'm financially fine. A plan is going to be able to help give you a benchmark or a roadmap to get where you're going to be. And that way, when life hands you some kind of detour, whether it's sickness or a new marriage or new grandchildren or being laid off early from the job you thought you were going to work at for another 15 years, that roadmap or the plan we have can just deal with that detour and get us back on track. But without some kind of plan, it's very difficult. And then you also mentioned about retirement. I had another mentor that took me under his wing, and I got my very first raise when I was 18 years old working at a bank. And this gentleman was handing me my raise, and it was the equivalent of $600 a year, which 30 years ago was quite a bit. And I was like, yay, I can put more gas in my car, go to Pizza Hut more often. And he says, Laura, he says, how much is this per paycheck? And I was calculating it all out, and I'm like, okay, it's $25 per paycheck. I'm like, yay. How much is that after taxes? I'm like, oh, taxes. Okay, it's $18 a paycheck. Okay, it's still good. And I was thrilled. And he goes, and I remind you, I was 18 years old. And he says to me, I want you to consider this thing called a 401k. And I looked at this man like he had 10 heads. I'm 18 years old, and he's trying to talk to me about saving for retirement at 18. But I will tell you that him taking the time, and I can't stress this enough, we as older people, and I don't like to think of myself as old, but we as older people who have had these experiences, we need to mentor those that are younger than us and share this wisdom and knowledge with them. And hopefully it will stick somewhere along the line. It stuck for me. And him taking the time to share that information with me, it again instilled in me, save for yourself. And it allowed me every time I got a raise at that bank, I sat and said, okay, Laura, is this something you want or something you need? And sometimes it was something I needed and I had to take the raise. But sometimes it was like, you know what, I think I'm doing okay. And I would put that raise into my 401k to the point when I left that company, I was contributing the maximum to my 401k and was well on my way to saving, having plenty of money in my retirement plan to retire on at the age of 48. So it was definitely a good piece of information that somebody took the time to share with me.
Well, it's certainly one of those things where you say, if a mentor had said something to me at 18 to put a little bit away in the 401k, it would have made a huge difference. It was only after my divorce that I started looking at, and I was only 26 at the time, of looking at what was going to happen if I died early, if I did have to retire early because of health problems. Certainly at the age of 27, coming down with my first bout of cancer, made it very real about planning for retirement if I had to retire early. I had a seven-year-old daughter at the time. How was I going to support my child? These were really brought home, close to home, at that point, and that's when I started my retirement plan. Because otherwise, at 51, I would not have been ready to retire. And I was still, even at 51, too young to take money out of my retirement account, which is another thing. People put the money in, and at the end of 30 years, they say, oh, wow, I can retire from the state. And the state is going to send me a retirement check. But you're still too young to take the money out of your 401k. You need to know when can you take that money out. And okay, so I can't take it out yet. But in the meantime, it's still gaining interest. And that was one of the cute things I loved about my granddaughter when she was putting money in the credit union. When she would take that little savings account book and they would post the monthly interest, and she'd say, look at this, they gave me money. Look at this, they added money to this. She was like, you know, so happy that they gifted her this interest, but it also taught her what interest was, not just interest that she has to pay on her credit card, but the interest that she earns by having money in the bank. And again, they barely touch on that in senior high school when they talk about the Economics and Public Issues program. It's like a six-month or half-year class. And they barely touch on the important stuff, like your taxes, like your interest. You know, when I was teaching that class for 5 years and they insisted I teach the whole history of money when we did barter and when coins became, you know, the way that we did business and then paper money came in, it's like, I don't know that kids need to know all that. The kids need to know about a paycheck, and they need to know about withholding taxes, and they need to know the difference between their gross income and their net income. They need to know about the money in their pocket, not the history of how money came about. It used to drive me crazy. All right. Are there some things that we haven't talked about? We have agreed to do a series of shows, so you're going to be back with me 2 weeks from now, and we're going to talk about some other money issues and certainly talking about planning for our future and using our money wisely. Are there some other things that we haven't talked about today that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think that we definitely touched in on some important topics. I mean, the topic of money in general is one in which every little thing that we talked about insurance, we talked about planning, we talked about retirement, and we talked about estate planning and the documents that you need, and we didn't really go deep into that, but each one of those is something that we could probably spend an entire radio show and then some on. So I'm looking forward to speaking on each one of these topics. The only other thing I could say is that it's for your listeners, it is so important that you not avoid these topics, whether it's with your spouse or your children or with me. And I think that that's one of the things I do offer is that – you know, I offer free consultations to whoever wants to speak with me. Just share with me what's top of mind. What is not making you be able to sleep at night? And I can give you some insight. It's always a good idea to seek the advice of a professional and not make those decisions on your own. You know, make sure that you have somebody else that you can lean on that has the knowledge and has the experience to be able to help you out.
And you just made a couple of really good points. First of all, these are things that do prevent people from sleeping. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything about it in the middle of the night, certainly between, you know, 11 o'clock last night and 6 o'clock this morning. Nothing was going to change that was going to make a huge difference. Why not lay down, go to sleep, and get your body rested so that you can face the new day? So certainly when it comes to financial health and financial wealth, you need to be able to sleep. That's a biggie. The other big thing is we've talked a little bit about finances and marriage. Finances quite often are one of the number one reasons for divorce, and it's also one of the biggest impacts of divorce. So we're certainly going to be talking about that probably in September when we're on the air together. Next time, August the 18th, we're going to talk a little bit more about that whole retirement issue, building a comfortable lifestyle for tomorrow while you're still able to live today, and that's going to be a big thing. Laura, thanks for spending part of your morning with us. It is so important, and I really hope that people will look you up, and I want you to give your contact information again. And I also love the name of your business, Hummingbird. I think that is so fantastic.
Thank you.
Give out your contact information so people can get in touch with you if they have some questions.
Absolutely. So my website is www.hummingbirdwealth.com. And on there, you'll find all my contact information to include my Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter profiles. But if you want to contact me right away, my phone number is 240-285-5579. And my email is laura@hummingbirdwealth.com. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm more than happy to consult you for the first time free of charge, whether that be in person or over the phone.
That's fantastic. And I know I certainly enjoyed having breakfast with you when we started talking about doing these shows. I just came home so excited. The fact that this was not available to me, and I'm really glad that I was able to do a lot of the things that we've talked about and that I was able to find assistance along the way at work about retirement planning and all that sort of thing. And I still wonder sometimes if I had not gotten so sick with cancer at 27, what difference my financial planning would have taken. Because I don't know that I would have sat down and looked at the 401ks that they were offering state employees at that time. I certainly wasn't looking at putting money aside into a savings account every payday. I wasn't looking at some of those important things, and I certainly probably would never have taught my daughter some of those things, or then eventually my granddaughter, that have really paid off. I mean, I am sitting pretty now because my granddaughter was able to become my co-owner of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made it affordable for her. She certainly pays less than some of her friends who are renting an apartment, you know, and she has this house and this beautiful yard. I mean, it makes a difference way down the road, and it's hard to get young people to think about way down the road. But we're going to talk about building that affordable life, comfortable life on August the 18th when you come back and visit Anna's Journey. Thank you so much, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. We have been talking with Laura Johnson, the owner of Hummingbird Wealth, and it would be fantastic if you get in touch with her for that free evaluation. And again, her website is www.hummingbirdwealth.com. I talk a lot about financial health, and Laura's going to talk about financial wealth. It really is a big deal. I really, really, really want to encourage people. We've agreed to do a whole series of 5 shows, and we're going to talk about a lot of these different topics, things that we so often just take for granted. And we need to think about the what ifs. We need to know where our money comes from and where the money is going. And I know I mentioned it before, you know, when it comes to marriage and it comes to even significant others living together, money quite often is the biggest problem of not communicating clearly, not communicating well. Some people want to keep their money separate. Some people want it to be in the same account, and then they don't know where it's going. It's really a big deal, and we certainly need to remember to do a simple budget. How much do you need for your bills? How much do you want to set aside for that fantastic trip to Jamaica? Where do you want your money to go? What do you want your money to do for you? And certainly when it comes to paying for insurance, I know health insurance is one of these big arguments these days about the Affordable Care Act. But yet, if you do get sick, you need that insurance, and you need to make sure that medical bills don't kill your whole financial life. It's another one of those really big causes of major problems in people's lives. So we're going to be talking about building a comfortable financial life. We're going to be talking about Social Security. We're going to be talking about steps towards success, preserving your wealth for your heirs, if that's important to you. Certainly college funding, lots of different topics that Laura is just really knowledgeable about. So feel free to give Laura a phone call or an email and let her know that you heard about it here on Anna's Journey. Thanks a lot for listening today. We will be back on the air next week with a couple of people. And don't forget, on Wednesdays, we're also talking with Nell's Tax Help. And again, that kind of fits right into this whole financial help. You need to know what you can take off your taxes and what you can't and all that kind of stuff. So that is going to be a really interesting thing. But next week we're going to talk with Dr. Gwen on Tuesday morning, and we're going to be talking about some parenting issues. And again, that's another big deal. So I certainly look forward to hearing what she has to talk about in terms of parents. Now, on Monday, I'm speaking at the Green Turtle in Hunt Valley, so if anybody is local and wants to meet me, I will be at the Green Turtle in Hunt Valley from 12 to 2 on Monday. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey. Take care and have a great day.